Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. Today's episode is an issue I think needs to be on every craft beer fan's radar: water security. When I talk about water security, I'm not talking about terrorists hijacking our water supply with nuclear or chemical weapons. I'm talking about access and affordability. I'm talking about sustainable, clean water that is essential for civilization to thrive and survive. I'm talking about clean water that craft beer just needs. So let's get into it. Did you know 90 to 95% of what's in your beer glass is water? Water is beer's primary ingredient. What you may not know is it takes about 3 liters of water to produce 1 liter of beer. And that's not including the water it took to grow the crops. If you factored in every drop of water from field to the glass, there's an inescapable truth to brewing. It takes a lot of water to brew beer. Let's pause for a moment and pull back and look at where we all began. One of the most popular theories about the foundation of human civilization is directly connected to beer. We think we have direct evidence that shows humans have always loved beer. Though our ancient ancestors didn't understand the science of fermentation, they were able to figure out that wet grain left in a jug would create a drink that was pleasant to consume and made you feel good. This foundational theory suggests humans figured out beer before they figured out bread. They grew grain crops not for a casual nosh, but for the express purpose of making beer. The simple fact is, if you want to grow crops, you need a complex society. You need to understand planting, predicting the weather, how to harvest, and where to store the output. You need the cooperation of many different people with different skill sets. And you need them to stay in one place for a longer period of time than, say, a nomadic culture. If you're not managing herds and following prey, if you're a pastoral people, something else is going on culturally. When you cluster people together who aren't related by blood, you need shared beliefs, goals, habits, ways of viewing the world. And beer sounds like a pretty good incentive to cooperate with your fellow man. So what does all this have to do with water? I submit, societies live and die with a fresh water supply. We have historical records of cities in North America and Europe, cities in the United States today that would predate colonialization, places like Cahokia, a city that grew to thousands of people, that housed industry and trade, political activity. It was a very important social hub. One thing you need to understand is that city collapsed. And when we look at the evidence that suggests why it collapsed, it was a prolonged drought. It was a lack of water that used to exist there. It was a shift in the supply of potable drinking water. Reduced their ability to grow crops, it reduced their ability to trade, it forced people to slowly move away. Simply put, no more water, no more people. Today, when we look at the United States, it's like having a crystal ball to look into our future. And what I'm seeing concerns me. There's water shortages, rising prices of water, cities and municipalities, states and different levels of government are competing for access to water. You see places like Lake Mead, the same one connected to the Hoover Dam. It supplies multiple states with water, including Nevada, Arizona, and California, and it's quickly running out of water. Go pause the show, look up Lake Mead online, and check out the bathtub ring effect that they're seeing at Lake Mead. It's stunning. It's shocking. After a decade-long drought, with no predicted end in sight, the city of Chico has already asked Sierra Nevada Brewing Company to reduce its water consumption by 30%. Bigger companies like Coors and Nestle, they're already buying legal water rights to draw directly from rivers. They have that much money. They can just say, we're going to pay this much money so we can just draw straight from the supply. Smaller brewers, they don't have that same purchasing power, so they're going to have to adapt in different ways. According to a recent Bloomberg article, Denver's Declaration Brewing Company brewed a special beer using only recycled water in-house. CNBC showed California's Bear Republic paid almost $500,000 in development fees just to drill two new wells to ensure they would have enough water to supply their expansion. Some breweries in the United States are building on-site water treatment plants to ease the burden on local municipal infrastructure and systems. The previously mentioned Bear Republic, they invested $4 million in wastewater recycling for the explicit purpose of cleaning and sanitization. When we look to these American brewers, they admit the next stage may very well be taking gray water, treating it, and keeping it as close to the source as possible for continued brewing. That's not common practice, but one day in the future, it very well could be. If we see this all happening in the United States, what does it mean for us in Saskatchewan? What does it mean for us in Canada? And what can we do about it? In the short term, I think we are going to see pressure on food and beverage prices. If climate trends continue towards longer, hotter, drier summers, we know our farmers are going to have to contend with lower yields. If our precipitation patterns continue to shift towards a drier, hotter, longer summer, reinforcing that pattern, we could see our ecosystem shift from a semi-arid desert to something possibly drier. Our water consumption patterns are going to affect us all. So what can we do? Right now, I'm not saying we have to be weirdos and just quit drinking and just quit using water. I'm not saying we need to be collecting water in buckets in a shed off our roofs and only flushing our toilets on odd days of the week. We're nowhere near some post-apocalyptic tank girl future where people are being enslaved and harvested for the water in their body. It's going to take concerted public pressure to keep our political leaders focused on water sustainability as an issue, as a priority. It's going to take ingenuity from brewers and farmers to adopt new technology and new techniques in our new, drier, hotter climate. We're going to need political leaders, business leaders, community leaders committed to investing in the very unsexy issue of water infrastructure. We're going to need to manage our water supply in a way that doesn't rely on election cycles or run until failure policies. The stakes are too high. I do think we need to ensure that water stays in the public commons. I do think we need to ensure access to water is a human right. I do think we need to ensure water stays affordable. The end game is learning from communities and brewers already hit by droughts and adapting now while it's more affordable. The end game is about a sustainable, strong craft beer scene where we're always going to have fresh, cold beer available and in our hands. Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm also proud to let you know we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. You can find them at saspodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sas craft beer news. Thank you for joining The Rebellion.